we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Tell me you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye.
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And welcome to Race Across America, the show America's been waiting for 400 years. We need to solve this race problem. We tell both sides of race issues, the present as well as the past, progress as well as the problems. You'll hear everything here, open, honest dialogue, and nobody gets a free pass. Everyone, all races are held accountable for what they say and do, including ourselves. I'm Paul White. My co-host is LaMarcus Tinker. LaMarcus, what does our audience need to know about us and our show before we get going today?
All right, Paul. We just want to thank everybody again for tuning in and listening and supporting Race Across America here on Fox News Radio. We always, as always, we challenge you and we encourage you to join the conversation. Give us a call at 775-884-9910. And you can always email us at raceacrossamerica20@gmail.com. Or you can visit our website at raceacrossamerica20.com. Again, we want you to get involved in the conversation. Please call us, challenge us, question us. Give us your opinion, 775-884-9910. All right, Paul, let's get into it.
Oh, we got a day coming, LaMarcus. And I would remind the audience, LaMarcus and I are friends. We feel strongly about the need to solve this race issue, but we kind of disagree sometimes on the best way to do it, but that's okay. The goal is the same. Our opening monologue here, maintaining the facts during the current debate of racial issues, it requires a lot of work because the facts get lost. Last week, LaMarcus stated that he found nothing on the Black Lives Matter website about their wanting to get rid of black fathers in the home. Well, here's a direct quote from the BLM site. One, quote, we want to disrupt the nuclear family. Second quote, we want to dismantle patriarchal practices. Couldn't be stated any plainer. Again, my co-host questioned several times my use of the word thug, claiming it's racist toward black people. Here's the fact. The word thug, it dates back to groups of habitual criminals in 14th century India, referring only to behavior, not race. The recent groups of young black men who have viciously attacked individual whites in many cities, as seen everywhere on YouTube, simply because of their skin color, these gentlemen are rightfully referred to as thugs. Number three, Black Lives Matter. Colin Kaepernick and many other misinformed public figures repeatedly claim to be motivated by the excessive police brutality toward blacks. We need to put this lie to bed once and for all. It's repeatedly proven false by the annual statistics of the U.S. Department of Justice and the National Academy of Science. Blacks commit murder at a rate 10 times greater than whites, but are only shot by the cops 2.5 more times. If this was consistent, they'd be shot 10 times more because they're killing people 10 times more. So they're shot, blacks are shot proportionally far less than whites by cops. On the other hand, cops are 18.5 times more likely to be shot by a black man than is an unarmed black man by a cop. 40% of all cop killings are by blacks, who are only 13% of the population. Finally, and this is a hard one. This comes from the black congressman from Florida, Adam West, Colonel Adam West. More blacks are murdered by other blacks every 6 months in America than all the blacks that were killed by the Ku Klux Klan in 86 years, slightly over 3,000. So the arguments that police brutality and our poor public schools and our failing city leadership are due to white racism, this is another lie that needs to be put to rest. The leadership of our biggest police forces in America's 20 biggest cities is 60% black police chiefs. The leadership of our 20 largest school districts is 50% black school superintendents. And the city government, the out of our 100 largest cities over the past few decades, 39 out of the 100 largest cities have been run by black mayors. These are political, educational, and law enforcement issues. They've got nothing to do with white racism. But the biggest lie that needs correcting is the dangerous belief that Black Lives Matter is not a threat to America's future. Numerous YouTube videos spanning the last 5 years show BLM leaders and supporters bragging about, here's a list, their training and support for Marxism and communism, their joy at seeing police officers murdered. I'm talking about videos that are out there. Their mentoring by some of America's worst urban terrorists, their desire to destroy our entire nation, and their belief that the greatest country for equal opportunity that's ever existed is nothing but a racist oppressor of black people. The unasked question in all of this violence and black complaining is, if America is so oppressive and racist toward non-whites, how have Latinos and Asians both, as well as black Nigerians and black Jamaicans, all with far more disadvantages, how have all of these groups managed to surpass the achievements of average American blacks? There's no systemic racism in 2020 America holding back anyone of any color. Not one person anywhere can prove there is. There definitely is a systemic problem, however. And it's a systemic flaw in current black American cultural values, generally speaking, that allows the continuance of a 75% out of wedlock rate, an 84% minimal literacy rate, and a murder and HIV/AIDS rate 10 times that of other races. These three situations, and little else, are the cause of black struggles in all other areas, and they won't be solved by toppling statues of Robert E. Lee or requiring more diversity classes. They'll only be solved by individual black parents acknowledging these problems, take greater responsibility for the kids they're raising. LaMarcus.
All right, Paul. Well, I knew you were going to go there. So when it comes to your statistics, and everybody and all of our listeners know how I feel about statistics, so I won't even go down that rabbit hole with you. Let's just take it one step at a time, Paul. I like how you did the history on the word thug, and God traced its origins back to India and all of these things. But again, you missed the point. You missed the point. The point wasn't to say the origin of the word thug. It was to say how the word thug has been used in this country to define a specific minority group of people. When you say thug in this country, nobody's sitting there going, oh my, that's, they're talking about India. They're referencing India. No. And that's the problem, Paul. And that is the issue. You missed the point because you were unwilling to step back and learn from a minority of people about what words mean to them, but yet you want them to give you that respect when it comes to words such as white boy, when you bring up your references to getting beat up when you were younger by a group of black people. You want them to have sympathy and understanding of your plight, but yet you refuse to give them enough respect to give them the opportunity to understand the words that have been used to define them generation after generation. When it comes to the Black Lives Matter situation that you brought up and you made your quote from the Black Lives Matter website, the quote that you made, I'm trying to figure out where in that quote and statement that you pulled, that excerpt of one sentence or two sentences from their website, did they say they want African-American fathers or minority fathers or fathers in general not to be in a home? Where did they say we want the out of wedlock rate to continue to grow, to go up? Again, you're unwilling to step back and realize and listen because you're so blinded by there's no race issue, there's no this, there's no that, but yet you're living in a world that is literally burning. And yet you deny and you're unwilling to see that it's burning.
You would rather say it's rainbows when there's a building on fire, when there's cities being burnt by all different races of people. And that's the issue. We have to get to a place to where we are able to say, you know what, let me shut up and let me listen to you, and you tell me what your experiences have been, what type of words have been used towards you, and how those things have been used in the media and in different sources to label you. And then we can have a conversation about how do we get past that. But if you're unwilling to ask a question, as in, what is wrong with me saying this word? What's wrong with me, like you said last week with the judge saying, oh, she has street smarts. Here's the thing, Paul. We can pull up Webster Dictionary all day long, but you know and I know that the terminology of street smart and thug does not refer to anybody in a positive light, let alone speaks to their intellect. In this country, those are words that are associated to degrade and diminish someone's light as a human being. Whether their actions justify it or not, those words are never used to uplift or encourage anybody. So you can trace the origins back to India all day long, but it doesn't change the fact of what it means in this country. And then we go to this black-on-black crime issue, and that is a serious issue. I agree with you. That is something that needs to be addressed, that we need in the African-American community to say, you know what? We have to look around at ourselves and say, what are we doing that is hurting us? What can we do differently? How can we become more vibrant, become more energetic and educated within our communities and stop hurting each other? Because every community has that problem. So yes, the black-on-black crime is out of control. Yes, the out-of-wedlock rate is out of control. And nobody's denying that. Not me, and nobody that I'm affiliated with is denying those problems exist. But what we're saying is we need to deal with those problems, but we also need to deal with the problem that you just exemplified on these airwaves, that you're unwilling to listen because you're so high-strung about your experience that you seem to think that nobody else's opinion matters. You did your research on those things, but yet you missed the point. I asked you last week, I challenged you to not go try to research it, but go just to have questions to get answers, to get an understanding. And that is the issue that we have. You know, and I heard somebody say recently, you know, this country is life, liberty, and justice, and for all, and all of these different things. And I heard somebody say recently that minorities are still focused on the word life. We haven't even got to the liberty and the justice yet. And that was a powerful statement, not because I'm saying it's true. It was a powerful statement because it spoke to the idea that nobody's asking questions to get an understanding while people are hurting. Whether you be black, white, or otherwise, you have to be willing to listen before you speak. And one thing that I just cannot do is allow us to get on these airwaves and cast judgments and throw numbers at people. And again, we miss the point. Ask the question, why does the word thug offend you? What words have been used to identify you? And then when we get on the air and we paint Black Lives Matter for whatever they've done, and you talk about the videos and you talk about this and that, and these people have spoken at these rallies, but yet nobody knows if that was a real Black Lives Matter rally, just like nobody knows if it's a real KKK rally, because everybody has an ulterior motive. But when you paint an organization and you say, well, they're communist and they're this and they're that and they're this and they're that, but then you look at the totality of American history and you talk about there is no systematic racism. Well, let me ask you a question, Paul, which I'm sure you will answer. When did African Americans or minorities in this country finally be considered human beings? And then let me ask you a question. Before they were considered human beings, how many of them were wiped out by the thousands, by the millions? How many of them were burned and hung from trees? How many of them were hosed and watered down and dogs stuck on them? How many of them? And then I want you to fast forward that question, and I want to ask you another question. Well,
I'd like to answer. I got to get a chance in there.
There's no such thing as getting the chance. You gave an incredible opening monologue.
Not this
But again, you're missing the point.
You are missing.
You're wanting to throw the facts at someone, but you're unwilling to ask questions and listen.
Yeah.
And that is the problem that I'm trying to get everybody to realize. It doesn't make you wrong or them right. It's just saying listen and understand a person's story before you cast judgments on them from your high horse.
Well, I tell you what, LaMarcus, I could go back over all the names I've been called, but I'll pass on that. I'll just say that there's two things you can choose to do. You can ignore statistics. You don't want to ignore them when it has to do with the past. You can ignore the statistics, but nobody else is ignoring them. Colleges don't ignore them. Employers don't ignore them. Lenders don't ignore them. Every other group is owning their stuff and moving ahead. Generally speaking, blacks in America don't want to deal with the three things that are killing it. Like I say, 10 times the crime rate. Give me a break. What's that have to do with how I feel about the word thug? And talking about the word thug and comparing it to my experience, LaMarcus, my experience goes back 50 years and yours wouldn't compare with it, okay? I grew up in the Detroit area. I had my car beat up by concrete. I had myself jumped and beat by a gang. I was chased by four guys with bats trying to kill me. I about got thrown out of college because I got assaulted by a black guy in a ball game, beat him up after he assaulted me, and they wanted to throw me out of college with him to show they were fair. Are you kidding me? I went in meat markets run by black Muslims there, my dad and I. We stood there and couldn't get service, and there was nobody in there. You don't have a story like that to match with me. You haven't had an experience like this in your life. You're too young. Mine go back 50 years. Two friends of mine went to all-black high schools in Detroit. They had to run home every day because they were getting their ass beat and their money stolen and their books knocked down. This wasn't a once-in-a-while thing. This went on every single day for years while they were going. So, I mean, you know, this idea of, oh, I want to be sensitive and ask people how they feel. Yeah, I know how I feel. They're Americans. I'm Americans. Every color of us is Americans. And we got laws. And we need to follow them, and they're not being followed. And this claim that how oppressed they are today is just a bunch of nonsense, and nobody nationally, locally, anywhere can talk about the systemic. Let's talk about how this plays out. I'll title this section, Hey Becky, I mean Karen. Last week, White House Press Secretary, a woman in her 30s named Kayleigh McEnany, was speaking for President Trump, responding to Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who's black, about Lori Lightfoot is presiding over the most on-fire, murderous city in America and is seemingly helpless to do anything to stop it. Trump was talking to her about might need to send in federal police, and this is a very contentious issue. Nothing wrong with that. And so Lori Lightfoot was saying, no, we're not going to take any in there. I'm going to solve this. And so McEnany, just formally, you've got a mayor, respectful position. You've got a press secretary for the president, respectful position. And McEnany says, president says if you can't solve it, he's going to help you do it. So what's this mayor turn around, this black woman, older black woman, turn around and she says, quote, watch your mouth, Karen. Well, as we know, and some of our listeners may not, Karen, like Becky, is a pejorative racial slur used by black women usually toward white women. First of all, McEnany's not old. She would have been a Becky. Okay? Watch your mouth, Karen. So you've got, first of all, this pejorative racial slur. She drops right to that immediately. Then you've got like this ghetto-style, low-class threat. Hey, what is it? It's like we talked the other day. Nobody said anything about this, LaMarcus, because they're giving the black behavior in America too much of a free pass instead of holding them accountable. If McEnany had turned to her and said, hey, LaQuisha, back off, which would be the white equivalent of just a racially pejorative, impolite way to refer to her, McEnany wouldn't have a job today. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with America. It's upside down. Nobody even questioned Lori Lightfoot about this. Hey, back off, Becky, or Karen. Now, come at me about that. What's that have to do with it? We don't have sensitivity to what's going on.
All right, Paul. Well, let me go ahead and say a couple of words to you. And I want you to think about who were they said to. And I'm not saying two wrongs make a right, but I'm making a point here. Coon, monkey, blackface, stug, degenerate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Who's saying that anymore?
Those are words Those No. See, that's the problem.
Who's saying that today, LaMarcus? What's that have to do with what's going on today?
But, Paul, it has everything to do with what's going on today.
If you want excuses, it does.
Everything.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, no, this is what I'm saying, and this is what I challenged everybody to last week, is to try to put yourself in someone else's shoes for a moment. You're not so privileged and high and mighty to where you can't step down again off your high horse and try to look and see through somebody else's eyes.
Where's privilege and high and mighty come from?
We're
all Americans.
When these words that I just expressed have been used for generations.
They're not being used now.
To describe a minority group of people, that's a lie, Paul, and you know it.
No.
Just because you feel that, again, the world is not burning, because in your eyes, like you said, I would have no way of knowing your experience. Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't have any way of knowing your experience. I wouldn't, because we've never walked in the same shoes.
You're right.
You've never
had the firsthand violent threat in your life, racism like I have, and you're sitting here saying about this is going to lead into this Sage Steele thing, but we'll pick that up. We got a break coming up, but let's see where we're at. Anyhow, LaMarcus, when we come back, we've got two good things coming up. We've got a topic on, if you're up on your Beyonce, you know she's got a new kind of album movie coming out called Black is King. We've got a little section on the romanticizing of Africa with that. And we've got, we've also got one on, what is it? Okay, then we're gonna this one with Sage Steele and ESPN. There was quite a blowout about her not being black enough. She complained about getting a show. So those are coming up. Those are coming up for a break. We'll be right back. We would remind our listeners, if there's anything you're hearing that sounds like something you hear nowhere else, we need your support. We've got a PayPal button on our website, or go to Race Across America at raceacrossamerica20.com. So good stuff, LaMarcus. We'll be back in a moment.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910.
And welcome back to Race Across America. You're here with Paul White and my co-host, LaMarcus Tinker. It's a red hot one today. We're just going with the idea of kind of, if I'd summarize it, learning from the past or living in it, being sensitive today versus statistics, etc. Next issue coming up, LaMarcus, I'm calling it the romanticizing of Africa, and it's getting in the way of solving the race issue here. My ancestors came from Germany, England, Scotland, and Ireland. But I don't wear lederhosen, I don't play cricket or the bagpipes, and I don't like Irish soda bread. I'm an American for centuries. This is my home and this is my culture. That's why I don't understand the misinformed romanticizing of Africa, past and present, by many black American celebrities. It's harming our attempt to have good race relations. Colin Kaepernick recently said he'd been around Africa around the 4th of July, in Africa, because he really wanted to feel his freedom and independence. Freedom? Africa has the highest rate of modern-day slavery of any continent on Earth. Kaepernick should have interviewed some of the 9.2 million, yes, 9.2 million slaves on the continent in Africa today. That figures from the International Global Slavery Index Foundation. It's also why I don't understand Beyonce's highly praised new album movie entitled Black is King, which romanticizes Africa's history and makes this huge deal out of being black. What would be said about a white entertainer who released a White is King project that placed exaggerated focus on the unique wonderfulness of white people from Europe and how great it would be to go back there with only white people? I don't want to go back to Europe. I'm an American, and so are my black brothers and sisters. Consider what one of the Ghana, which Ghana is kind of the touchstone country in Africa because that was the loading point for slaves to America. Here's what one of their websites says about this romanticized distorting of America's history by American, Africa's history by American blacks. And speaking here is one of Ghana's leading historians, a former mayor of Accra, and the woman who headed up what was called the Year of Return to Africa, celebrating 400 years since slavery from Ghana. They said, for the sake of tourism, the Ghanaian chiefs and people decided, well, all right, we'll talk about slavery. We will not talk about slavery with American blacks. So we created a mythology that Africans were innocent bystanders whose hands were whose lands were raped by Europeans. I'm quoting, "The supply of slaves to Africa's Gold Coast, where they were then sold to America, the supply was entirely in African hands. Some African Americans think there's a much deeper brotherhood with native Africans than what many Africans think. Lamarcus, we both, black and white, are Americans. I'd suggest we want to solve this race thing. Let's give our lederhosen and our kente cloth a rest. Let's enjoy hanging out with each other a little more and celebrating our unique shared American culture that we're responsible for as individuals. What say you to this?"
Well, what I have to say to that is, Paul, and Beyonce is highly anticipated. Disney Plus Black is King premiere film. You know, I'm quite frankly looking forward to seeing it because being an artist, I can appreciate another artist. And being that the content matter, I'm actually looking forward to enjoying it as well. And so when it comes to this idea about Africa, you know, and how they feel about African Americans in America, in the slave trade and all of this, and we go back and forth about the slave trade, and there were slaves in Africa, and those people gave the slaves to Americans, and the Americans were going there with good intentions, the Europeans.
No, they weren't. Nobody says that. Nobody says that.
No, of course they weren't. Of course they weren't. But when you make that statement, you make it sound like they went there with good intentions, and the Africans.
Yeah, I didn't say it at all.
Let's go ahead and trade off our people for slavery because you're going to give them, you're going to keep them, and you know, give them such a better life in America.
No, why, Lamarcus, you're making up a fantasy here. Nobody has ever said that
again.
Ever. Nobody.
Paul, again. But you haven't said what I'm trying to point out to you, Paul, is that you get on the airwaves. And you always talk about and you say black people the way you know you say it.
I say white people.
Talk about the black people. And the, no. Listen, because I want you to understand what I'm saying is that you talk about a group of people religiously on these airwaves, and yet you never speak or give an understanding of your race and your perspective on things. You quote Frederick Douglass and you quote Malcolm X and you quote all these great black leaders who have flaws, just like everybody else has flaws. But you can't quote anyone of Caucasian descent in this country from those times, because if you did try to quote one of them, it would read very brutal against minorities in this country.
Let's see, Lamarcus. I think I've gone over saying that
consider them as human beings.
I've gone over saying the Confederate flags should all be gone.
Human beings.
I've gone over that. I've said that the governors were wrong. You're not telling the truth.
Yes, you did.
No,
I am
hammered.
Telling the
I've
truth.
I've hammered
Paul,
the way that,
because
the
you can't quote one Caucasian leader from that period of time that you always like to quote from of African American leaders. When you try to say, well, Frederick Douglass said this, so what's your excuse? Martin Luther King said this, so what's your excuse? What I'm saying to you is you want to point out all the African leaders and their flaws, but yet they said this, but you can't name one.
Oh, that's such
from
no,
that period
it's,
of
it's
time
an absolute,
that
that's
Caucasian,
a blatant lie. Let's take one, Lyndon
please.
Johnson.
Can you go ahead, do me a favor, Paul.
Yeah.
Quote one right now from the time that Frederick Douglass was alive. Quote a Caucasian a brother and sister. Quote one of them and tell me what they said that was encouraging the prosperity of all people in this country.
Well, I tell you, the Quakers,
including minorities.
The Quakers, who were an army of them who were behind setting up the Underground Railroad, would kind of take offense at the fact that you thought none of the white Quakers who were helping slaves get out of there back then weren't doing anything.
I didn't say
I think the 360.
Well, I said, name one of the
I think
leaders.
The, I think
name
the 306
one of the leaders.
They
quotes.
Didn't. They didn't want to stand up. Their church. Their entire church is for that.
Okay.
Their entire. The Quakers with the Underground Railroad. You want to come forward
Paul,
a little bit?
I'm
you said Martin Luther.
To you is what I'm showing you is Paul. Paul, what I'm showing you is this. This is what I'm trying to get you to realize, Paul, is that your points and the things you're making are definitely good for discussion. But again, step back and ask a question. I will not dismiss your experiences. Why do you? What gives you the right to dismiss a minority group of people?
Well, first of all, LaMarcus, the idea that
right.
you speak for the race.
I didn't say they were wrong, but your attack. No,
the idea that you speak for the race is presumptuous as heck. There
is
an armload.
I don't.
I know you don't. There's a truckload. There's a truckload of black conservatives who are successful. There's a truckload of more black Americans becoming middle class and up all the time. You don't speak for any of them. They're writing every day saying anything from affirmative action to reparations to all this stuff is a bunch of hogwash. Now, they're black too, which leads us to, like I say, this is the problem when a person's first identity is their skin color and not their individuality as simply an American citizen under the law. And you've got armloads of people coming forward. You ask, what about Martin Luther King's era? Who do you think pushed the Civil Rights Act if it wasn't the white Lyndon Johnson?
That's not what I asked.
Well, you asked for this stuff.
No, that's not what I asked, Paul.
What'd
you
ask?
No, that's not what I asked you to do. What I said to you is that, Paul, give me a quote right now from a leader of that time that spoke
which time
about the equality and the rights from whether it be from the time of MLK, from the time you always quote Frederick Douglass, but you never quote one of the other leaders at that time that spoke about equality, Paul, that spoke about everybody being equal, seeing African Americans.
Well, I just told you one you didn't hear. Okay, it was the President of the United States whose meeting, I was looking at the picture today, of him handing Martin Luther King the pen he signed the Civil Rights Act with, saying this was long overdue. Okay, this was the president speaking up. So there's one for you. Okay, another one, if you recall down there in Mississippi burning, the three men who were killed and buried in that dam. Well, Werner, Cheney, and Goodman, two out of three were white, LaMarcus. They were down there and got killed for the fact that they were speaking up for how wrong this was. The Freedom Riders, many whites were in this thing. So the idea of saying, oh, just give me one, the whites were being so evil down there. This is just such an ab. This is exactly why the statistics are that what they are. Because they are, and they're individually broken by tons of blacks. But they're what they are is because there's too many voices like yours out there saying, no, we're not going to talk statistics. We're going to talk feelings.
No.
How about just talk laws? You want somebody, and you say, why do we talk the black issues here? Because all the arguing going on right now in America and all the burning and whatnot, a lot of that's anarchists off on the side, but a lot of the hateful talk is coming because you've got too many unanswered celebrity and political voices saying, oh, we've got to get rid of this systemic racism. Tell me right now, LaMarcus, tell me right now, and I'll never say another thing. You tell me one systemic racism, one law that's in place this afternoon anywhere in America that keeps you as a black man from doing something that me as a white man can do. There isn't one, and you can't name me one. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
All right, Paul. So let's go back to the system.
No, just name me one thing. Come on.
Bring up.
I want systemic racism.
I've already addressed this on this show.
No, never have.
I've addressed
Zero.
This on this show before. Yeah, absolutely I have.
Never.
And what I said, Paul, and of course you don't remember because you're on your high horse. What I said on this show regarding
watch
systemic
it, Becky.
Racism, Paul, is that what I remember on this show saying about systemic racism is that there was no, I didn't say that, I clearly stated, there was no law in the books that said that an African-American or a minority in this country cannot do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, you're right. So then why the talk about systemic racism?
It is the individuals, listen to what I'm saying. It is the individuals that are in the boardrooms, that are in the government, that are in these places that don't have the proper representation of all people at the table.
Well, wait a minute.
That
sounds
what I
like
said to you.
No,
and I also stated to you that it's taught
racism is taught. It's not about what's in on the paper. It's about who's wielding the power to make decisions regarding these matters.
You're right, LaMarcus.
So what I'm talking about is, Paul, you know this and I know this, is that in this country, a lot of the systems, and whether it be corporations, whether it be institutions, a lot of them, and I'm talking about the ones that wield the power, right? You always talk about, why doesn't Disney do this and make Florida take down that flag?
Let's talk about this and do that.
Majority of these people, Paul, are not multicultural boardrooms. They're not multicultural people at the table.
Well, first of all, LaMarcus, there's no people that look like them. Well, if your main thing, like Ice Cube here, he had a quote this week that he wants an equal representation. Blacks are 13.5% of America. And we think, even though there's nothing for it in the Constitution, it's opportunity. He said, we want 13.5% of everything. Well, okay, Ice Cube, give back 60% of the NBA. It's 75% black. Give back 60% of the NFL. It's 70-plus percent. Give back 47% of the big school superintendents. You've got representation times 4 or 5 in these systems. Well, you've got 4 or 5 times the representation in the big city schools, and they're falling apart. You got 4 or 5 times the representation of police chiefs, and you're griping and going crazy about how racist the cops are. You've got saying these cities are falling apart, and 3 times the representation to the part of the population. You've had it. You've got it here. It's out there. And this idea, plus, if it's so bad, LaMarcus, you got to help me. How are Asians, Latinos, and even black Nigerians and Jamaicans, how are they working this? If the system is so rigged, nobody'd be breaking through, right? Tons of them are. And because I'll tell you what they don't do, that the blacks do. And again, I'm speaking generically. All the blacks who support 100% what I'm saying and have demonstrated in their lives, they don't believe this. But I'm saying that where they're making the complainings, the others are dropping their wedlock rate down. The others are increasing their literacy rate. The others are dropping their HIV/AIDS rate. No, that's not happening with black America. And it's because we go with excuses and victimization, just like you're saying today. Oh, there isn't any. Yeah, the systemic racism is daggone right, it's there. I had a job that I was 50 times qualified for in the 80s. In a school district, and my boss wanted me, I'd proven this, and the other candidate wasn't 10% the qualifications I had. My boss came back and said I had to give it to the black candidate. They said they had to put somebody black in there. Yeah, I know darn well what it feels like to have systemic racism against me.
Right, Paul, and you know what? But then my question to you is, why do you think that a corporation or school district or whomever, why do you think they have to put those types of things in place? Do you think it's because they have been open and welcoming to minorities to be a part of their companies, their boardrooms, their organizations? No, that's the point, Paul. You just proved the point right there. It didn't say it on the book. But what did they say to you? They told me I had to do X, Y, and Z. And why do you think they said they had to do X, Y, and Z? It is because they were never doing it in the first place.
You're right. So what they did, so two mistakes.
Doing it in the first.
You're right. Two wrongs don't make a right.
They were doing it in the first place. No, they were never doing it in the first place.
They weren't doing it at one time. But then it's
exactly
come back.
Exactly what I'm talking about, Paul. It still exists. It's not on
well,
the
you know,
books,
no, you tell me where. Yeah, it does. It does still exist. White on black, black on white races. You tell me,
Paul,
where it still exists for blacks.
You just proved the point that I was trying to make about it being something. You just said they told you they had to go with a minority, and the reason they had to go
with a black.
They were not, well, an African American
black.
So
we're
the reason they had to go with that person is because that they were not common to that. They had to put in initiatives in their corporations that says, no, we have to diversify.
No, they
we
don't.
Have to have let acceptance me, let me break and inclusion. In. That is the truth, Paul, and you know
no,
it.
No, let me get in here, LaMarcus. First of all, there's
the
no law.
It is set up.
No, there's no law set up. I can't go over to
Robert
Johnson.
Law, Paul,
Robert Johnson would
I
be.
Said.
I can't go to law. It doesn't bother you that the NBA is 75% black. Nobody's
no,
telling you to roll that
why
back.
It doesn't bother me?
Why?
No, Paul, do you want to know why it doesn't bother
yeah,
me?
Yeah, tell me.
It's because I'm not shocked by it.
Well, no, it doesn't bother. It doesn't bother. It
history.
Doesn't
no,
bother me.
Let's go back in our history. Let's go back in our history.
No,
let's go back in our history.
We're trying to talk about
when you
now,
look
LaMarcus.
At African American men. When you look at African American men,
come on,
in this
we gotta
country.
Move.
And you go all the way back to the days of Jack Johnson. You go all the way days to the back in slavery. And you look at how African American men, whether it be by force, by pay, by whatever, have always been used in gladiator type.
Oh, good golly! Come on, LaMarcus. We listen.
You know
we cannot waste
true,
our. We can't waste our time
true.
With this.
And
you just keep going back
in
on
the
this.
NBA,
nah.
And majority of the owners in the NBA are not. Minority.
And the law,
majority
you're right, you're right,
Caucasian,
and it's a private business and they don't have to
well.
Be. And the thing
but
is,
Paul,
no.
What I'm trying to say to you is that is the truth. There
no.
is no ownership.
What you're trying
thing.
To say is
there
you're
no
looking over the fact
boardrooms.
That today, which you were not able to do, and of course you weren't and will never be able to do, is say, tell me a systemic racism today that's out there.
Because,
a law
Paul,
that exists.
I
now,
exactly
the, no,
that there
you
was
didn't articulate
in the law books
squat.
That stated that.
What you did is
yes,
you said
I did.
That. No,
that's
you
your
said
high
that there's
horse
a.
That you're on right now. You see how you're talking down to me?
No,
there's
wait
your
wait
high horse that you're on.
What's
and that horse. Is the problem with the conversation, Paul.
No.
That is the conversation. That is the issue. You're unwilling to step back. Just like I step back, I listen to what you said
you
about
your
experience.
You didn't listen to anything.
I didn't dismiss you getting beat down.
No,
I
yes, you did.
You not
yes,
getting
you
that
did.
Opportunity. What I'm giving you is an example of what has transpired. I'm giving you an example. I said systematic racism. I said there are no laws on the books that say that African Americans or any other minority cannot do X, Y, and Z.
You're right.
I said that. And then you gave an example that proved my point. The reason why these companies
no, I gave you an example of something that they did.
Because
they, I gave an example.
It,
LaMarcus,
Paul.
You got to let me
they're
talk a minute here.
It.
You got to let me talk a minute. This isn't the monologue hour, okay? You got to let me talk a minute here. And the thing is, I gave you an example with a public agency paid with public money that was totally making a call based on race. They were blocking me out because of my race. The NBA, NFL, corporate boardrooms, that's not public money. And they can do what they want, and they bring in a variety of They look for good people. They want to make money, and they also want to play to their customer base and show, hey, look, this is what we are. Their motives are totally different. That different from housing, education, law enforcement, health care, etc. Those are the things with America. America's equal opportunity. Not equal everybody. Let's hand it out even. When it's way over the other way, there's no complaint there. The last couple things, we're just about out of time. There's one, two hangings that were in Palmdale and Victorville, California, Malcolm Harsh and Robert Fuller. When they happened, everyone went crazy and said, oh my gosh, hanging, we're back in 1800. They brought in a 15-man FBI team. It was front page in the LA Times. Well, on the back page, in real small print, if you looked, it showed that like the cops said at the beginning, they both looked like suicides. The Victorville young man, Harsh, surveillance camera showed he hung himself. Robert Fuller turned out had severe mental illness, had talked about killing himself many times and doing it. It was every investigation of an exhaustive group of people checking it out that it was 100% conclusively suicide. But again, where did that go? Last thing we got, LaMarcus, just we got to go fast. NFL is going to play Lift Every Voice and Sing. They want to play the Black National Anthem before every NFL game. Burgess Owens, a black former NFL player, said, well, what, are we going to play the Asian and Latino ones too? So we sit and listen to four national anthems before we start the game. Where are you on that?
Well, when it comes to that, I'm all for playing all of them. If they are able to do one, let them do them all. And here's the thing, too, Paul, when it comes to that, because the way I feel about it and the way I see it is this. I no disrespect to the Latino brothers and sisters, my Asian brothers and sisters, no disrespect to them at all and no disrespect to anyone else. But when I look at this country, we sing a national anthem, which, by the way, it's a great song. Okay, my favorite version is Whitney Houston's version,
okay,
if anybody wanted to know. It's a great song. Nobody's saying that that song shouldn't be sung. But when you look at the totality of the experience of minorities in this country when it comes to that song does not necessarily, to some people, I didn't say me, I said to some people, they don't feel like that song represents them. They don't feel like that song really is talking about them. It's talking about the idea of what America said it wants to be or
sure.
has become.
It still does. And so when you I don't hear any Latino or Asian or Nigerian, Jamaican, Pacific Islander wanting their national anthem played. It's like it's such a play for victimization. I can't believe it.
Paul, let me ask you a question. What was the financial infrastructure of this company built on?
Which company?
Country? This country. What was the financial structure of this country built on? How did this
Well, I'm going to answer your question if you'll stop talking. That it's real easy. There were people who were slaves. There were people who were not slaves, far more, who all worked towards doing it. I've got to close, and I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Terry Crews writes on Twitter. He's black. Are all white people bad? No. Are all black people good? No. Knowing this reality, I stand on my decision to unite with good people, no matter what the race, creed, or ideology. We got just a little over a minute, LaMarcus. It's yours.
Thank you, Paul. For everybody that's listening, one of the things that I want to encourage everyone is the idea of healing and how do we get to a place of healing. You know, the conversation me and Paul had, yes, it was intense at moments. Yes, it was back and forth, but it was conversation. It was dialogue. It was headed in the right direction of understanding. I challenge everybody to ask questions to one another. Get to learn each other's strengths and weaknesses. Let's focus on the resolutions. Let's focus on the issues and the problems. And let's move on from them. And so I want to thank everybody
for tuning
in today to Race Across America here live on KKFT 99.1 FM. We want to thank you for all of your support. God bless you all. And I also want to send our prayers to Regis Philman family who passed away today, but also our prayers to Texas, who has Hurricane Hannah hitting the coast right now. And so we want to send our prayers and love out to those people.
Absolutely.
Again, love and faith is the answer to resolve all of these issues. And we hope that you will join us again here on Race Across America next Saturday at 2 p.m. live on Fox News Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM.
Totally agree. If you want to keep us on the air, you can donate on PayPal on our RaceAcrossAmerica20.com site. Thank you. See you next week.